I thought they were f***ing, okay? I did.
EW podcast is right.
Fierce, fierce, fierce.
I love this podcast.
Fierce, fierce. Weather, fierce. Food, fierce.
Hello, I'm Joey Nolfi, Entertainment Weekly's RuPaul's Drag Race reporter, coming to you today sans the usual and expected standard of glamour we've set for ourselves here at the show, recording live from a truck stop bathroom in honor of this week's bathroom design challenge, the shitty news that Dawn is our eliminated queen this week, and our extra special guests from the new movie Slay, Trinity the Tuck and Heidi N. Closet, the latter of whom is Jillian Closet's podcast drag mother, who famously once did a specific brand of lady business in a Glasgow parking lot.
That's how I ended up shitting in a parking lot in Glasgow.
Nothing ladylike about that business. And I'm Jillian Cederholm, EW's news director, and I don't know how much longer I can live on this planet with the vocal fry. No, not a reference that computes, Joey. Did you watch what? The episode?
I did.
That we're about to recap?
Wait,
RuPaul's iconic critique of morphine was, I don't know how much longer I can live on this planet with the vocal fry.
Wait, did she say that? Which part did she say that? Did she say that on the stage or did she say that in like the judges
She
chat?
Said it during deliberations when they were saying that, well, we'll get into it. We're about to recap this episode.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. No, I didn't. I don't recall that part. But thank you for the
They
refresher.
Said that Morphine and Q were doing a Kardashian voice and specifically Morphine. And
so should we do the rest of this with vocal fry?
I've never tried it. I
Try
don't,
it. You I made me, I you made me no slap, do an armpit fart.
Like the armpit fart, I don't know if I know how vocal fry happens.
Do you have deodorant on your mouth? Is that preventing you from doing
it? No, wait,
it?
Say, I don't know how to do it deliberately.
It's like, you know the movie The Grudge?
Yes.
Yeah. Jillian, if you and I had to design a bathroom together, what would the aesthetic be and what would you put me in charge of designing?
That is scarier than this Slay horror movie that we're going to be talking to our guests about later. But okay, I know you were looking. Okay, Joey is standing up doing an arm. Wrong episode. I know you were looking for a joke answer where I reveal to our listeners that you have an all-wicker bathroom, including your toilet and tub.
Yes.
But instead, this really inspired me to think about it all night long. And I wanted to say, what if we were – okay, I'm pitching the idea that we come up with a Drag Race-inspired bathroom called the Mother's Toilet, a.k.a. Latrine Royale. And there's pictures of like iconic Drag Race, like, okay, the Katya on the couch talking to Alaska and All Stars, but she's saying potty instead of party. They're playing the song from the John Waters challenge in season 7, that doo-doo skit of Violet and Miss Fame. There's a urinal where you just aim directly for Alexis Michelle because we know she loves it.
Piss pig.
There's a wee wee pole in there for RuPaul.
Yes!
And in the end, there's a leak sink for your life where everyone has to make their stream go with the song, like the Bellagio Water Show in Vegas.
Jillian, I am going to make this in Photoshop and send it to you because that is incredible. I do have to point out, however, there is one glaring omission from this bathroom, and I think you know what I'm gonna say.
Lucy Ladookie. Monet no. Excrement?
No!
Manure Lazon?
No!
Pee-pee
the
O'Hara?
One and only queen who has actually pissed all over the main stage, our mother, Sasha Colby, who famously revealed on our podcast that she literally pissed on the stage on season 15. So she is the patron saint of this bathroom. She can be, there can be a Sasha Colby, a Sasha Colby animatronic standing outside of the bathroom welcoming people into Latrine Royale.
Yes. Well, she's going to be the host of the show, of the bathroom.
Yes. I love it. I am going to Photoshop this at some point, and I wish there was a poll that we could tie to this somehow.
Oh, wait,
what can our poll question for this? Wait, what were our results of the last poll? Sammy?
Oh, Oh, don't worry. They're in here.
They're in here.
Logged and loaded.
Oh, they're okay. All right.
Log.
Now that the thought of designing a bathroom with Jillian closet is flushed out of my system, let's get into this week's episode. We are already on episode 12 of season 16. I cannot believe that. And this one picks up in the aftermath of our beloved, dearly departed Maya's elimination and her stunt in last week's lip sync that our dear listeners, wait a minute. Okay, here it is, that our dear listeners officially voted. Okay, I'm not reading this.
Why?
I'm not reading this false information. Our listeners have voted was a potentially deadly act in our Spotify poll. Sammy, what are the numbers? Sammy, don't run up the
don't
numbers.
Don't drag our listeners. They voted.
Sammy, I'm not dragging our listeners. I'm dragging a rigged election system.
It may have been a narrow margin, but Team Jillian.
Sammy, can you reveal final numbers?
Okay, so I can't see the results until I vote. So here I vote, and it's 50% Jillian and 50% Joey.
No! That means that, okay, but I just listened to Race Chaser talk about it, and Alaska said like nearly verbatim what I said, so that's an extra vote that we're throwing in there. Officially, I win again.
No, it's not. It's 50-50, so essentially we've gotten nowhere. Anyway. We begin this episode with Q absolutely plucked that she didn't win last week's corporate presentation challenge. She looked so pissed and even told Safira that she didn't deserve to win the following day, which seemed like it would have blossomed into a bigger fight if Rue hadn't entered to introduce the mini challenge. But Safira, again, just demonstrated this masterful motherly approach that just speaks to her wisdom and poise. Like, I don't know why anyone would ever think of trying it with her. She was just so calm and collected at the table, just like, yeah, Q, come at me. Like, it was just, you knew that Q was not going to come out of that alive if she tried it with Mother Superior. But they did later patch things up. But it was after Rue had the queens engage in a horrifying mini challenge where they had to rub full faces of quick drag makeup over white space on t-shirts worn by the pit crew with our favorite recurring mystery woman, Norvina, which I believe stretches all the way back into the EW's binge days of us being like this woman, returning to MC the challenge with Rue. Now, wait a minute. I have to add a little thing here. Okay, so Jillian, last night, decided to text me. These are the joys of like co-hosting this podcast with Jillian, is that I will get random texts that just said, it was like 11 o'clock at night. It was like, do you have a white t-shirt you can ruin? Which I looked and I do not. All of my white t-shirts have some sort of graphic on them. And the one plain thing that I do have is like a white tank top that I wear underneath like blazers.
Oh,
or whatever.
The one you infamously spilled coffee all over on your way to interview the
Actually, yes. So I do have a white shirt that I can ruin. But yes, Jillian, call back that. Absolutely. But I did not want to put a whole face of makeup on. So I was
going to challenge us to come with a full face of ridiculous makeup and plant it into a white t-shirt just for this audio only podcast.
I could not
find a piece of white clothing in my home.
Yeah, because it's all purple.
Yeah.
Well, Plain Jane did find a white t-shirt and was crowned the winner of this mini challenge. And Rue introduced then this week's maxi dress challenge. The queens, splitting into three teams of two, should design a gender neutral bathroom. During the preparation period, though, Morphine asked if anyone there has ever poopies yourself, and reveals she once thought she defecated while doing a... This is just a bathroom potty humor podcast episode. Yeah. She revealed that she had defecated while doing a jump split at a brunch, but thankfully nothing came out, which fits in with this week's bathroom theme. It really does. Getting ready for the runway, though, Plain has an emotional breakdown, which Jillian Closet has added quotes around in this script over being her own worst enemy that Mother Superior soothes by having her do an exercise by writing down her issues, reading them aloud, and throwing them over her shoulder. So Plain's note said, "You aren't strong enough, you aren't brave enough, you aren't funny, you will flop, you will fail." And I think we're clearly meant to feel some type of positive way about Plain at this point, as she's no longer, I think, being painted as a true villain of the season. I think it's clear that production slash the Queens have perhaps warmed up to her. But I want to know, Jillian, has your mind changed just yet? And I'm guessing no, because you put quotes around emotional breakdown.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess for me, it was a little too late for this turn of events for me to fully be invested in the character of Plain Jane as presented on the show. And then I think also, though, coupled with if it had truly been like, oh, I had this full arc and now I'm like this not villain person. And in the end, but when the show started airing, we're still seeing her be that way on Twitter to start. So I don't know. Maybe it's performance art that she's going along with it online as well. But I don't know. I guess it didn't fully work for me. Did I take a screenshot and then Google what side do your tears come out of if you're genuinely crying? And and yes, she was genuinely crying. I am not going to start any new allegations. But I don't know.
Allegations would turn out to be false.
Yes. Well. That's a result of a different poll.
Sammy was very correct when Sammy said last week, Sammy was almost correct when Sammy said that was nail glue. It was actually just wig glue. But okay, so there is also another Jillian note in this podcast that I was having trouble listening to Jillian's response because I was
reading. Yeah, you didn't listen to a word of what note. I said. I just came out as the biggest Plain Jane stan and you didn't even know.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You did not. I will say that Dawn does talk a little bit about this Plain Jane behavior off of and on Twitter and how it's sort of like a... she describes it almost like as if it's like a push and pull between them, as if it's like if Plain says something that she thinks is too harsh, she will text her and be like, sister, that's out of line. Like, you shouldn't say that. So it sounds like Dawn is also Plain's mom, who also is telling Plain that she's too mean on the show. But okay, so Jillian, would you like to phrase your Jillian note to me?
Joey, have you ever poopsies yourself? You do not have to answer.
What if I want to answer?
Then maybe that's the new, that could be the poll question. Have you ever poopsied yourself? Yes or no?
Okay, yeah. The new poll question is, has Joey ever poopsies yourself?
No, we want to ask our speculate. Listeners.
Oh, okay. So I have to answer now. Yeah, okay. Listeners, new poll question. Have you ever poopsies yourself? Yes or no? I will say... Yes.
I was actually in shock that everybody in this workroom hadn't. But okay, are you sharing a story now? Yeah.
Okay, the story is, so I was in college and I did not want to go to the bathroom in the bathroom that was right next, because I was a film major and every film class only met once a week, and they were 3 hours and 50 minutes long because you would do lecture, screening a film, and then post-screening discussion. And since they only met one time a week, it was like you were trying to cram a whole week's worth of lesson into one thing. So I walked into, and this was right at the beginning, Jillian, of my discovering my allegedly fake gluten allergy, and I just... this bathroom was right next to this class and I did not want to go. It snuck up on me right in next to this class when have potential students and the professor walk into the bathroom. I have like severe public bathroom anxiety. So I was walking home and I didn't make it.
Oh my! So that's less embarrassing than just pooping in a bathroom that happens to be close to a classroom?
Well, nobody knew about it, and outside of my mother, a select few, a group of friends, and now all of our listeners.
Dozens of listeners.
Now dozens of listeners, yes, who are going to vote in our poll, and our dear Sammy, who is listening. So, yes, I know that this goes against my image. You would never think that such a wonderful woman would do this, but... sadly, I have. So I will vote
my
yes.
My image of you is someone who's full of crap. So that makes sense to my fans.
Jillian, have you ever poopsies yourself?
I'm poopsing myself right now.
Ah! Oh my god. Okay. That's why you're off camera.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's move on from the toilet.
We need to move on. You have to at least give me a yes or a no.
Oh, no, yes, all the time. No, I've like many times, like more times than I could share like one story, I'm sure. So I don't know. This has come up, I think, in another episode too, where someone had talked about this and everyone was like, oh my God. Like, and I'm more like, I can't even believe someone only has one story to share. This is just feels like a human occurrence all the time.
Oh, this is so funny. This is our best episode. This is hands down our best episode. Oh my gosh.
Let's move on to the runway, because this is one of those rare episodes where we get the runway before the main challenge, which always kind of throws me off. But the category of the runway was chain reaction, and the queens had to bring looks incorporating chains of some sort. So basically a Joey Nolfi themed runway. Joey, so I want to ask you another question. What is the most amount of chains you've ever worn at once? And did any of these looks come even close to being enough chains for you? Or are you left feeling like me after the goth runway?
Oh, God. I didn't even put this together. I should have known you were going to ask me about this.
Are you over your chains era?
Chains I've ever worn. I'm not, actually. The most amount of chains I actually wore on my... I will say... It got to be a little bit too much for me walking around in the Florida sun last week. I decided to wear 3 chains to said theme parks. And that was a bad idea, because that was the one and only time in my life where I was like, maybe I shouldn't have worn 3 chains today. So I wore 3 chains in the scorching Florida heat.
Wait, but what was it, like you were getting sunburned and then you have like a 3 chain mark on your chest now?
No. So it was more like it just felt like cumbersome. Like, you know, you're already walking around, like Florida is humid as hell. You're walking around the Florida sun. The sun is beating down on you. The chain on the metal on the chain actually started to get hot. So like it was deeply uncomfortable. And also you have to like fix them every 10 seconds. And then it's like, I couldn't put them in my little backpack because I was like, what if this ruins them? So I was just stuck wearing 3 chains all day. That I did to myself.
You don't take a chain off. Okay.
But you can't put it in your bag. If you put it in your park bag, it will ruin it. It will ruin it. There are liquids in there. It could get bent. It could get scratched. So I just had to suffer through it. And that was very uncomfortable. So I think the most I've ever worn at one time is 4. So this was not my record, but consistently it's around 3. So, in this chain runway, I liked the chain runway. It's another one where the only one that really sort of gooped and gagged me was Safira. I thought that was just so good. It was so creative. It was so different for her.
This was an FU to the, I mean, in hindsight, the fan with a capital F who was sharing on social media that Safira always wears this exact same silhouette, a tight shirt and a poofy bottom. And there was no poofy bottom here.
No, it was so good. And she almost reminded me of Oblina from All Real Monsters, like with the red lip and the black and white on the body. Did you watch All Real Monsters?
Now this is a classic turnaround. I have no idea what reference you're going for.
Oh my God, the first time this has ever happened.
I remember the title of the show, but I don't think I ever watched that one.
Okay, so there is a monster whose name is Oblina.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't it kind of look like what Safira did?
No.
Yes, it does.
She looked more like she reminded me more of John Candy in Spaceballs. As the like dog character, a BDSM. So I wanted to throw another reference back at you.
I don't know that. I don't know her.
Well, also, didn't Eureka do a dog thing one time?
Somebody did something.
Well, I mean, Simone was a full furry.
Yeah.
So Simone as a furry and Safira as a BDSM dog. I think that would be a good couple to hang out with.
Yeah.
I love Safira, like, and I liked Morphine's. That was my kind of my issue with the other. Like, nobody looked bad, but everyone else, like, it wasn't the chains that made them. And I guess I would say also about Sephora. I just got makeup on my mind ever since seeing Norvina. I don't know. There was something because Nymphia, I loved her whip work and all of that. And the chains, when she actually said what they were and showed a close up, I was like, oh, how cool. But for some reason, when I just saw her on the runway, the corset pattern on the corset was making it harder for me to register the chains. Yeah. At first,
this was the first time that I was not super into one of Nymphia's looks. This is the first time that I was that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I loved her. I think I preferred her purple look in the bathroom just because she was purple, and that did make me think of okay, if Nymphia's favorite color was purple instead of yellow, I would have zero complaints about her wearing it all the time. Even though we have not seen her wear yellow in a while, so she has beat those allegations as well. So let's go on to the main challenge. The potty pairs were Plain Jane and Sephira, who go with an old-timey Prohibition-era bathroom, Dawn and Nymphia, who let loose and break wind in their Museum of Modern Fart bathroom, and Morphine and Q, who drag us to hell in a Lucifer-themed laboratory, comically themed with purposely dangerous dressings, a toilet seat full of spikes, and the thing that Joey is apparently the most dangerous of all, having to reach high for the toilet paper.
If you think that putting a piece of cloth on somebody who is a drag queen who is holding them up, if you don't think that climbing up to a very high elevation to get a piece of toilet paper while you have to clean your butt is not dangerous, you could slip and fall off of that toilet and fall and crack your little head, or fall and get impaled on a spike.
I don't know. Maybe you'll get a cramp in your arm having to reach high, but that's about it. So they all did these kind of
drag queens have to worry about cramps as well.
True. So they all did these kind of half scripted, half improv tours to visiting guests Michelle Visage and Carson Kressley, who I forgot their names, Dita and Dodi, something like that. These German characters.
Yeah.
And they also had to incorporate a pit crew member in some way. And I couldn't help but notice the one who was getting tickle tortured in the bowels of hell seemed to have his pitchfork at full attention, we'll say. So I just wanted to point that out for any interested listeners. It was, a different than we've seen from the pit crew maybe before.
Wait, what? Jillian, are you alleging that Plain Jane was using poppers that one of the pit crew was aroused?
I mean, look, doesn't this person look like they're having a little bit more fun with tickle torture?
Oh my god. Oh my god, Jillian. You're absolutely correct. Oh my god.
I mean, we're used to, I always think back to the Wonder Bread story, which we won't tell again, but when I think of the pit crew, that was the first time I'd ever noticed one of the pit crews getting this into it.
Is this the straight one?
Oh, I don't know. This is the one that was Bryce is the straight one. This is the one that just on Snatch Game.
I
don't want to embarrass anyone. I mean, nothing to be embarrassed by.
No, there's nothing to be embarrassed by, but it's just funny that they left it in.
Yes.
Oh, wow. No, you can definitely tell.
Who else stood out in this challenge other than this?
I would say this pit crew member stood out.
Yes. At full attention.
This is our best and worst podcast ever. Oh my god. I think, I don't know, this challenge is... this challenge was not a grower for me. It has not been a grower throughout Drag Race history. I feel like it's just like they're it feels like each time they do this, they're trying to just replicate the Club 96 viral comedy, and it just hasn't worked since Club 96, and I don't think it ever will. So I'm also just like, I can usually look at the challenges and be like, okay, there's some real world application there to what they would be doing after the show. And this is one of them where I'm just like,
I don't think I any don't of them are ever. It. Well, hold on. Well, now Trixie designed a whole hotel after the show. So
yeah, maybe. But that's a little different because that Trixie is actually going out and like there were years and years and years of like trying to study real estate and like it began more as like a real estate thing than it did a room design thing.
Branding challenge for Trixie versus just a real Well, I mean, it's more of a branding challenge.
This has nothing to do with their personal brands. That's true. That is true. But it just is. It's not even personal branding. This is just like they're just like design a room. And
I meant Trixie Hotel is personal branding.
I
think that I fully agree until we get to Safira and Planes, because I think that was like even RuPaul says, I know exactly how you are as a host. I know how you are at improvising. Just having seen how Safira was, and I thought that theirs was so like heads and shoulders above everybody else's. Just the way that they like had actual jokes in there, like other two were just kind of rambling, and then always one person talking over the other. They had actual sharp tags on the end of everything that they were saying, and they gave us opera. It showed Plane doing some ragtime, but we didn't get to hear what she actually sounded like. Yeah. But I thought theirs was a ton of fun. I did just want to point out the Easter egg the modern fart bathroom of this warped image of Amanda in her entrance look. So they're like doing another visual gag of Amanda, and I hope it doesn't go over as poorly as when they used her in the presentation.
Yeah, I feel like she's not going to be happy about that either, which and I will say, like, talking to her in that interview that we did, it's like, obviously, I think if anybody had known that, I don't think this stuff would have happened. So I just hope that maybe she's able to see it as that. And that I don't think anybody, including like especially the queens that were, you know, making these rooms, even Plain said in our interview 2 weeks ago that if she had known what Amanda was going through and why those things hurt her so much, she would have pulled back a little bit. So I don't think anybody, you know, I think maybe just like in our very first group interview that we did, like I had no idea, and I brought up the turkey neck thing. And given Amanda's response to that question in the moment, it was like, you know, I don't think anybody knew what a significant thing this was for her. So I just hope that it doesn't hurt her too bad.
So the bottom two ended up being Morphine, who lip synced for her third time, and Dawn, who was not safe for the first time this season and ended up lip syncing for the first time to Megan Thee Stallion's Body. And for the second time this season, this is so many numbers, it was a murder on the dance floor after Maya decimated Plasma a few weeks ago. Was Dawn murdered as badly as Plasma was? Because I think to me the answer is yes.
Yes, I think it was a murder. I think that Dawn also admits as much in the interview coming up that it was, she fully knows that it's a murder. She actually said that Morphine used nukes on her. So she knows. I will say, though, that I don't think this one comes off as bad as the Plasma one did. Like the Plasma one, it seemed like you could tell that Plasma was overthinking it and that Plasma was, you know, a little bit shaken. Whereas this one, like, it's very clear that, like, Morphine won the lip sync. I don't think it comes off as bad on Dawn's part. I don't think it's, like, a train wreck.
It's not a train wreck, but I guess it was just, kind of sad. Because there's even this moment, like, when she is walking to the back of the stage and you can see her walk by Plane and Q, and they're like not even looking at her to like glance to wonder what she's going to do next. They are just like eyes focused on Morphine. And at the end, I don't remember ever hearing this before, that immediately, like when it's over, Michelle says she ate that.
Yeah.
Like she, not two people or what a great lip sync. It was she ate right. that. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But I also think that it's like, but production at this point knows that this song is way more in Morphine's wheelhouse than it is in Dawn's. And this is exactly the kind of song that you would expect Morphine to do really well at, because she is all about the body and she is very much a dancer. And this is a song that a dancer can really excel at. It has a harder beat. It's a little bit more of, there's like a little bit more of a swag to it than like a song that I think maybe would be in Dawn's wheelhouse. So I think Dawn did the best that Dawn could do in this moment, given these circumstances and the headspace maybe Dawn was in going into the slip sync. Because as we saw in Untucked, Dawn pretty much was like, I think Dawn could tell she was going home. And it was the first time I think we truly saw her be really rattled. She did say that she didn't give up, but she says that this was the first time that she was like really shaken in the competition. Yeah. So I think if we had gotten a different song, Dawn would not have been murdered as badly. But again, I don't think it comes off as it's like, you know, Dawn is just flailing around not knowing what to do. It's just a song that wasn't to her wheelhouse.
Yeah, because she was kind of taking a similar approach to Morphine, and you don't stand a chance in hell next to Morphine. But I think that like her only approach could have been if she had just taken a completely opposite approach, leaned into not having the body that Morphine
being
does,
awkward.
Kind of like Sminty Drop in the UK, who was doing like the sad twerking, of like you're sad that you don't have a BBL.
I think that might have been
something that RuPaul would like the humor of that. But she was in a really tough position.
Yeah, I think so too. And it was, you know, Dawn, I think is, like I said last week, I think if you had asked me at the beginning of this season who I thought would make it to the final four and who would at least be guaranteed to win one challenge throughout this season, I absolutely would have bet money on it being Dawn. And it's just surprising that she didn't win anything this season. And I think that she is that this type of run that Dawn had on this season, this is prime All-Stars, setting her up for All-Stars. We are absolutely going to see Dawn back on an All-Stars, and it'll get the same kind of narrative that Jan got going back to All-Star 6 of like finally getting Dawn's win. So we'll see. We have definitely not seen the last of Dawn. But one other thing I wanted to talk about that happened in Untucked, which really cracked me up. Morphine got a video message from her drag mother, Athena Dion, who is also Plain Jane's drag mother, but the video message did not mention Plain at all, which I thought was so hilarious.
And looks a lot more like Plain than Morphine, like makeup-wise. I was like, they almost have like the same eye shadow on right now.
It was so funny. It was so, so funny. I just was like, okay, well, I was waiting for Athena to be like, oh, my baby's away at Drag Race. I'm so happy for you too, Plain Jane. But then it just ended and there was nothing. And I was just like, what the fuck? Yeah. But I did also wonder, does this give more credibility to Jillian Closet's half-joking theory that they aren't actually drag sisters?
What was my theory? Because I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, I remember you like suggested once. I think you put quotes around sisters once when we were talking, and like you, Jillie does not even remember.
I don't remember it, but yeah, did I think that Plain made something up for more screen time? Possibly, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what she is a master of doing. But I did want to mention one more moment in Untucked that was a moment of pure cringe as everyone is talking about how insanely horny they are and that Nymphia is about to go peel her banana back in the hotel room. And then just at that moment, George Lopez's daughter, Mayan, walks in and says, anyone else here have daddy issues?
Oh my God.
Right in the middle of a bunch of horny drag queens. It was like.
Well. What a revelation. We have really, truly covered the most disturbing of topics today. But from dusk till dawn to dust, stay tuned for our interview with this week's eliminated queen, the evil elf herself, Miss Dawn. Welcome back to EW's Quick Drag Podcast, where I can confirm the sun is absolutely not shining. It is not the breaking of a new day. It is instead an ushering in of dust and gloom as Dawn's time on Drag Race has entered its dusk era. But like the secret evil elf that she is, darkness is where she thrives, especially if there's a Tweedledee and Tweedledum costume to read in her vicinity. Please welcome back to spill on her inexplicably safe run throughout Drag Race Season 16, the divine Miss Dawn. Tell me it's not true.
It's not. They lied to you. Have you seen the episode? I win.
This is just Q doing Snatch Game right now as Dawn.
No, the question would be nearly as good.
Oh my gosh. Well, maybe. You know,
we're gonna start.
Yes. No, I, as always, I am just, I'm happy to talk with you under any circumstance. Just, this wouldn't have been the one that I think I would have personally chosen. But, you know, I do have to say congratulations on everything you did on the season. And I hope you're, you know, holding up okay.
Thank you, Joey. I am feeling very, honestly, I feel like the right word is light. I'm feeling very happy, free, fresh as a daisy. I actually feel really great right now.
So we're putting the evil elf arrow to rest.
No. I didn't say that.
True, you did not. But we've got a lot to cover today in this interview, and I want to start. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. We got to start with this lip sync.
Do we have to start with it, Joey?
Dawn, we got to get it out of the way. We have to get it out of the way. And this is exactly how I did it with Plasma a few weeks ago. We got it out of the way right at the top.
All right.
Do you think it was fair to say it was a murder?
Girl, it was more than a murder. She dropped a nuke on my ass. That shit was... Am I allowed to curse? Sorry.
Yes, okay. You are.
That shit was horrific. Like, it was crazy.
It really was very entertaining to watch. I can't lie. It was entertaining. I thought, you know, if you're going to go out, you got to go out making us laugh. And, you know, I think you had an inkling and you kind of had a glint in your eye and you made us laugh. So I do have to know, though, did you know the lyrics? Because I was trying to clock it.
I definitely knew the lyrics. Was I so panicked in that moment that it might have gotten a little mishmouthed? 100%. But I knew him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard thing to learn, like, rap verses for a lip sync. So, I mean, I wouldn't have blamed you if you didn't know them. But I do want to ask what maybe your approach was to the lip sync, because it did seem like an untucked. I never like to use the word given up, but it seemed like you felt really awful. And I think you said it even at that point. And I don't recall on the show at this point seeing you be as sort of defeated as you were in untucked.
Well, yeah, I think that I think what it goes to show is that being on the show, I truly had such a good time every single day. Even in the days where I was safe, I wasn't in the top, I wasn't doing whatever, I still came into untucked. You see me in like the behind the scenes stuff. Like, I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm having fun, I'm joking around. And so I think it does just go to show that, like, that day was really the first day of all of them where I was like, I'm just not feeling it. I don't think I've given up by any means, because I know this might be hard to believe, but I really didn't realize that I was in the bottom two until they called Nymphia safe. And I don't want to call that delusion. I just want to call it hope, you know, that like, it'll be Nymphia and Morphe, maybe. But yeah, I definitely hadn't given up, but I was certainly, you know, I'm someone who I let myself feel my emotions. And if I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be sad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anybody can blame you for that. And I do want to get into, you know, all the stuff with the challenge a little bit later, but let's go back to the beginning of this episode, because there was a lot to talk about here too. You all returned after our dear Miss Maya's elimination, and she revealed to me last week that she left some of her spirit in the workroom via farts, which was also a very big topic of conversation this episode. But she said that she would like run by Morphine and fart. That's why Morphine voted her as gassiest in the challenge last week. So I just have to know, were you ever a victim of this?
I don't think I was. I think this might be new information to me, which is honestly not. That's a recurring thing with Maya, because she whispers, she's like sneaking around doing shit that you don't see. Like, I'm not surprised, but I was not aware.
Well, something you might be aware of, you were voted gassiest. So what is the tea there?
Oh, I'm really gassy. Like, any of my friends, anyone, like, I'm not like a fart girl, but I am a burp girl boots. Like, I literally, my family, they'll tell you, I will string a sentence together with a burp in the middle of it and just keep it pushing like nothing happened. Anytime I meet someone new or I see someone for the first time in a long while, they'll be like, oh, yep, there she is. there she's going. I burp a lot. I don't know why.
Well, one phrase I never thought I would hear in a Drag Race interview is, I'm not a fart girl. And then also, I have to know, did your burps ever like interrupt anything on the show? Like, were you ever on the main stage, like you just accidentally burped?
Well, no, because I have self-control. I can make sure not to do it at inopportune times, Joey. However, I also know when to do it in times that don't matter.
Well, sometimes it sneaks up on you. You never know.
Yeah, true. No, I don't think I ever burped in front of RuPaul, except for maybe in the bathroom challenge.
you would not survive, I think, if you did
no,
that.
I'd be dead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you all also voted Saphira as the flirtiest. So, like, tea? What's tea with that? Any kai-kai going on among the sisters?
I don't think that she's kai-kai with anybody, but she's just a top. And she's made it known that she's a top and that there was a room full of twinks who were mostly bottoms.
Don, we are already, let's just cut it after three questions. We got it. We got the quotes. We're good. Well, there was a rumor there that Lane and Nymphia were.
Oh, item. I think I started that.
Yeah. Oh, you started it.
I might have. I don't know. I just thought they were fucking, and they both have told me that they're not, and I believe them, but I just thought they were fucking. I just thought it was true, okay?
Well, I did ask Blaine about this because I think Megami was the first one to drop it in our exit interview a few weeks ago, and then I asked Tsunami. Tsunami wouldn't spill. Plasma wouldn't spill. I didn't ask Maya because I was like, these girls are not spilling. And Plain was like, yeah, no, we're not. So we can blame this all on you. You started this. It is not concrete based in actual factual evidence.
No. I think that Megami probably brought it up first publicly, but I definitely put that in her ear like months ago. So sorry about that. But I thought they were fucking. Okay. I did.
That phrase, I'm sorry, Sammy, my podcast producer is listening. Please make that the opening tag of this whole interview is, I thought they were fucking. No G on the end of it. Fucking. No G. Thank you, Don. I want to also ask you about something that happened a few weeks ago. Snatch Game, because you... Yeah. I'm not sure if you see, but we cover The View a lot here at EW, and I was so excited to see this. You absolutely eviscerated Megan in your confessional. Like, you really read her. But then I feel like in the actual challenge, like, we didn't see too many shots of you. So was there anything we missed? Like, were there things that you planned to do but ended up not doing in the moment?
Oh, my God. Snatch Game was a total, like, brain fart for me. I think I prepared enough, but also Snatch Game is so weird and specific, and you'll never know how you feel until you're in that moment. So I don't know if there's any amount of preparation that can go right. I absolutely had, like, I wanted to say my father about everything. I had like iconic things lined up. I wanted to get like a horrifically styled braided bun wig, and it just ran out of time. And so, yeah, there was a lot that I wanted to give to Megan that I just didn't. And I, you know, I'm still grateful for it. I was safe boots, low safe even. But yeah, it did not come to fruition in the way that I had wanted it to, which is also why, let me say this, all of these twinks or even drag queens that are like, they're watching the show and they're like, oh, I would do this. I would do this. I would do this. Yeah, girl, I had plans. I had intentions. Yeah. And you're there in a silent room sitting behind Yelena, who's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And things don't go as planned, okay?
Yeah. Wait, so you actually did, like, have a plan to get, like, the insane wigs and stuff that yeah. Megan...
Yeah. I had the whole plan. I just, you know, in the stress of getting ready for Drag Race, not everything happened the way that you want it to.
Yeah. And also, it might not have even been able to fit on the plane because, you know, Saphira was taking up all the room on the airplane with all of her luggage. So
that's aircraft. I've been trying to phase the plane out of my vocabulary.
Oh my God. Well, it's like you were reading my mind because it's like you knew what my next question was going to be because you and Plane have been going at it online all season. So, like, what is the status of that relationship? Is this real tension? Is this, you know, for show tension? Like, what is going on here?
As far as I'm aware, and who knows if Plain like actually hates me, but as far as I am aware, that is my sister. I love her. We are cutting up, having fun, like just fully like shooting the shit and like getting a rise out of each other. You know, like I'm going to tweet about how ugly her dress is, but I also texted her and I was like, hey, girl, you know, I think this dress is ugly, so I'm going to ham it up, but I'm not going to make it any more serious than that. You know what I mean? Like it's
coordinated.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's fun, you know, and I love her. And even on the show, like, I think the thing about when we would get into like the doodoo clown of it all, like that was to me a really fun moment. You know, watching it back, I will say, I think perhaps she was actually more angry with me than I had thought she was in the moment. But it still, to me, was like silly, fun TV time. It wasn't like fuck Plain Jane. And it's not fuck Plain Jane now either.
Right. Were there any moments that you two actually orchestrated together where you were like, okay, we're going to do this and it's going to be really good?
No. Never orchestrated. More so just like me maybe tweeting something nasty about her and then texting to be like, hey, was this too far? And it's, you know. Just checking in, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I know that you're also close with Amanda, and Amanda has a really, really particular feelings on Plain's behavior on the show and off. So is it maybe difficult maintaining friendships with both of them? Like, how do you feel about that conflict?
Definitely not difficult. I mean, obviously, Plain and Amanda had their moment, and they both talked about it here with you, I'm sure. I don't think Amanda is, like, holding a grudge, but I also, like, they're not, like, great friends now, obviously. Yeah. And to me, it was, like, even right after the show, and I came back, and Amanda obviously had all of her feelings, and I just said to her, like, hey, me and Plain are, like, friends. Like, do you have any problem with that? Like, is there any... whatever, right? And she's been so... like, she's not a crazy person. She's been very, very sweet and just, like, girl, be friends with who you want to be friends with, but that doesn't mean I have to like her, you know? And so it's definitely not difficult because we're all adults and we understand adult relationships.
Yeah. No, I like that. It's a very nuanced situation. And I'm glad that you're navigating it as you know, best as you can for yourself and your friends.
One thing I do want to add to that, though, is that that doesn't mean that I let Plain slide on everything. You know, like if she tweets something nasty about Amanda that I don't agree with, I'll be like, girl, that's too much. You know, and I think that that's an important part of the relationship is to understand those boundaries and like, not let shit slide that you don't agree with, but that doesn't mean that you can't be friends, you know?
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, I think relationships, especially friendships, it's always a, you know, it's a building block on both sides. Like you're both building the same thing and it's important to make sure the left hand is agreeing with the right hand in terms of a friendship. So I think that that's a very important thing to do. I'm glad that you do that. So you sort of, I mean, maybe call out is the right phrase. Like you call it out with your friend when you see them doing something that is not okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, one thing I would like to call out in a fun way, you teased in our very first interview, although last year, I mean, I can't believe that we're already at this point, but like that day was so fun doing all of those interviews with you. And you teased that you might be the evil elf of the season. And it definitely seemed like you did work a lot of behind the scenes, really fun, playful evil, especially your shady confessionals. And also when you told Plain to tell Nymphia that she would save her, but then actually not do it, which I thought was so funny. So were there any evil things that you plotted or tried to do that people maybe don't know about that you can reveal now?
No, because, well, first of all, I didn't plot shit. I was just like, I fully came onto set every day just ready to have a good time. Yeah. And I think that at my core, I am just like a chaotic little bitch, like honestly, and I'm at peace with that. And I think that the one thing that I want to note about that is that I am like, I don't have issues with any of these queens. I am friends with everybody.
Yeah.
None of them have come to me and been like, wow, Dawn, you really took that too far. So like, to me, it's like, we're there, we're having fun, we're filming TV. You know, I wasn't plotting anyone's downfall, except maybe Nymphia in that moment, but like, you know what happens.
Yeah.
Even that, I'm being sarcastic. I didn't plot shit.
No, I think it's all, you know, the question is all in good fun. I think that it's you know, it was very fun to see you. Like, because everybody was sort of, during the season, like, oh, Plain is evil. And then it was like, it just slowly came out. It was like, it started with the Tweedledee and Tweedledum thing with Plasma. And I was like, huh, okay, Dawn is maybe the undercover villain of the season. So, like, do you think there is a real... distinction there between like who is the villain of the season, or do you think it's Plain?
Well, I want to discuss what a villain is, honestly.
Yeah.
Obviously, with shows like this, and they're long, right? So Plain is absolutely the early season villain, right? No shit.
Yeah.
And then I would say I have gone into like late season, quote unquote, villain territory. But what does villain really mean? Like, is villain the person that the fans don't like? Is villain the person instigating drama? Like, Because if the villain is the person that the fans don't like, I don't think that's me. However, yeah. I also am instigating drama. So, you know, I'll say that I was the villain, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't either. I always say it with as if it's like a term of endearment. And I know that that's not always the easiest for this entire fandom to grasp. I think that there are some people that think that the villain is the person that people don't like. But I never see it as that. I always see it as this is a television show. We are getting such a tiny microscopic portion of not only that day, but of these queens' lives. And they're also in a very high pressure environment. So if you're like the villain of the season, I think it's like you're being like mischievous and fun. Like the evil elf thing, I don't think you're actually evil. Like, I think that's like a playful, like glint in your eye, little mischievous thing. And I like it.
Yes, so, me too. I totally agree. And there was one moment, like while the season was airing, where I finally realized, because I had a little bit of struggle emotionally with like some of the earlier episodes, just like watching it back, it was kind of hard. And I finally had a moment around like episode 8 or 9 where I was like, oh, if you see the character that I am on TV and you don't like that, then I don't think you like fun. So I don't care. You know, like I gave up on trying to please everybody because I genuinely watched every episode, and without some annoying bitch in my ear telling me that I'm a bitch, I loved it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's also, and I think it's important that you talked a lot about mental health too, because I mean, this can go very awry for certain people who maybe go on the show and then don't have the capability to step back and pull back from a lot of those things, those external factors with once the show is airing. So how has that journey been with mental health since the show has started airing? Has it been a struggle to maybe get to that point of accepting those things?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so glad that that made the cut, because I think that at the bottom line, like that truly is the crux of who I am as a person, because on the surface, and as you're seeing while I'm there, I was having so much fun and I was so effervescent and I was just being so chaotic and shady. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm like on the surface. But like, truly, my whole life kind of revolves around, you know, the neuroses, the anxiety, the OCD, the therapy. And I think that maybe that's the complexity in the character that doesn't always get shown on the show. And for me, watching it back, it's been really, really difficult, actually. I kind of was going through these cycles where after the episode, I would always feel so great and I was so fun. And then by Monday or Tuesday, I'd always see people, you know, talking shit about my runways, saying that I was mean, saying that I bullied Plasma, saying that I did XYZ thing. And then it really like got in my head and I was like, am I actually like a bad fucking person? And that happened basically until like episode 8 or 9. And then I kind of just decided that like these random things that people are saying aren't relevant to me. My mom watches the show and thinks I'm hilarious. Yeah. And that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked to hear that there are certain people that actually think that, you know, these things are that serious. I guess it should never shock me covering something like Drag Race. But I mean, it's still every time I hear it, I'm just like, that is wild. But I do want to make sure we have, you know, some time to talk about the challenge and you know, all that happened with that, because it was the bathroom design challenge and it unfortunately did result in your exit. But the judges said that you and Nymphia weren't necessarily vibing off of each other well enough. So I'm wondering, how did hearing that feedback compare to maybe what you felt during the performance itself and the vibes that you had with two judges in the challenge with you, like Carson and Michelle? Could you tell by your scenes with them in the bathroom that you and Nymphia like weren't slaying?
No, not at all. I think that the energy in there when we were doing it was so, I guess, kind of frantic, honestly, because it was early in the morning and you've been working on this bathroom all day and there's a lot going on. And so at that point, the main focus is just like, do it well. And so I wasn't really concerned by all of that, I guess. And I definitely didn't notice anything was going awry while it was happening, but also I didn't have any context for it. Like, I didn't get to see what everyone else was doing, so I didn't have any context of like, oh, they're not reacting in the same way that they're reacting to these two, so we must be something. So I had no idea what to expect, so I didn't feel any of that. And definitely hearing what the judges had to say about it wasn't shocking, but definitely disappointing.
Yeah. So you're saying that whenever you were being judged, like, you weren't able to see, like, the other queen's performance, so you just had to go based on, like, it was basically like you were going in blind without having seen the other people perform.
Yeah.
I can understand how that might be difficult. Because then at that point, you don't even have, like, did you even have enough information to say that, like, you didn't deserve to be in the bottom? Like could you say that somebody else should have been in the bottom?
I think the only person that I could have said should have been in the bottom was Nymphia, and I don't even believe that. Like, maybe I'll watch it back and be like, Nymphia robbed me or something, but, like, mm-hmm. I don't think that either of us did significantly better than the other. It was just a chop job the whole way through.
I mean, I will say it plays, watching it back, it plays, like, I think at this point in the competition, many times it's, like, nobody really necessarily does a bad job. It's just kind of like we're down to, you know, only 6-7 people, and it gets much more difficult. So I will say that I don't think you have anything to worry about in terms of how it's going to come off in the actual challenge. But the last thing I want to talk to you about is there was also a moment in this episode where you talked about looking like a drag king, Dusk, which I loved the name Dusk. So obviously there's a lot of discussion going on about drag kings and, you know, the fandom right now, and among the queens too, after Nasha said something at Roscoe's last week. So what are your thoughts on that? And do you think that drag kings should have their own shows, like, separate from Drag Race?
If there was a way to have a drag king show that is as platformed as Drag Race, I would love for that to be the case. But unfortunately, Drag Race is such this viral and mainstream platform that absolutely drag kings deserve to be on, you know?
Yeah.
I think maybe in the future, once drag queens and drag kings are on a similar footing, sure, they can have their own show and queens can have their own show, but I don't see any reason why Drag Race in its current form, or even in the future, shouldn't allow drag kings. I would love to see drag kings on the show. It's RuPaul's Drag Race. Why not? You know, like, we have Sasha Colby dressing up like a man in fucking season 15. I would love to see drag kings on.
Yeah. And Kylie Sonique Love did Steven Tyler too, on All Stars.
There's so many iconic drag queens doing drag king moments on this show. I would love to see drag kings doing iconic drag king moments. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's an important conversation to have. And I think we'll see something change soon, I think. But other than that, Dawn, thank you so much for just being so lovely throughout this whole season. You've been such a joy to you know, get to know through our interviews these past few months. And I wish you nothing but the best after the show. I have a feeling this is not going to be the last time we will talk. So all the best to you, Dawn.
Wish you the best. Have a lovely day.
Following the dawn of our sadness era in her absence, we now have the holy mothers of the Heidi Trinity here to discuss their new Tubi movie, Slay. So gird your loins for some soft and supple horror in our chat with the Drag Race alums ahead. Welcome back to EW's Quick Drag Podcast, and I am so honored to welcome Glasgow's finest queen of bowel movements and gay Lucifer herself to our show and to the realm of horror as bona fide scream queens, literally at the center of their new horror comedy, Slay, which is now streaming on Tubi. Here to sink their teeth into all the juicy tea on this new film and more, please welcome the legendary Heidi M. Closet and Trinity the Tuck. How are you guys?
Oh my goodness, I'm so good, Joey. How are you? How are you, Jillian?
Oh, we're doing so well. We're saying thrilled. Yes, we are thrilled, and we were just, you know, commiserating with Heidi on adopting Jillian 4 years ago for our season 12 reunion podcast, because Jillian is, as of course referenced on this podcast, is Jillian Closet. So we have the true mother here.
They grew up so fast.
Yes. you can't so get rid fast. Of me. I'm, yes, my inheritance, I'm sure, is on the way.
you're like glitter. You just never get away.
Yeah. I was trying to get Trinity to adopt one of us, but Trinity has apparently given up parental rights.
It's so shut. I have that surgery a couple of years ago.
Okay, well, there's still hope. There's still hope. But Trinity and Heidi, you are both here today because of your new horror movie, Slay, which, again, now streaming on Tubi. It is a slay in itself, but if you can just tell us a little bit about this movie and some of the wild scenarios that it puts you in, like, were there any scenes that were particularly gross or challenging to film, especially in drag?
Well, for me, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think the most like gross thing probably was just seeing all the blood splatter everywhere on everyone, and like during the day they have to keep retouching up the blood so the blood looks consistent. I'm like, ew, it's nasty, but it was, yeah.
I thought it was just such a fun project. It was challenging because we actually had to go through stunt school to do all of the stuff. We were doing most of the stunts ourselves. There's a scene that Heidi literally gets basically picked up by her throat and slammed on a table. That literally, she did all of that.
Over it was kind of hot too.
Well,
it was amazing to watch, and especially like, you know, in a wig. But it was very challenging because you're in all of this, you know, cumbersome stuff, wigs, tight dresses, jewelry. And you're trying to do all of these stunts and but it was so fun. It was definitely not a drag race acting challenge.
No, it was like a drag race acting challenge on steroids.
Were there any injuries since you went through stunt school?
Oh my God, there was an injury. It wasn't one of us. One of the vampires, the one that actually ended up, me and my love interest in the movie, Gabe, ended up killing the one. He smashes the bottle over their head. The bottle, we had to do it multiple times, so we had multiple bottles. So the first one went, and, you know, we dusted them off, whatever, but apparently maybe we had missed one of the pieces of glass. So when did the second one, a piece had, like, cut him, and he had to get that taken care of, like, a bandage really fast. But he was such a trooper and very sweet and very kind.
Oh, wait. So wait, I'm sorry, Amos, did you say that it was a bottle that you were holding?
No. The bottle that my love interest came and smashed. I could never. Never. I'm too delicate to smash bottles.
Never.
I'm sure there was other things that happened because it was definitely very active. I don't remember any full on injuries. You know, you're in drag for hours and hours and hours and hours. So like, even just wearing a tuck, wearing duct tape around your head, wearing a corset, all of that stuff is just so brutal. I don't think people realize how cumbersome and taxing drag is on your body for hours and hours. And but it was totally worth it. So fun. I would do it 10 times over.
For sure. I would honestly say the thing that got hurt the most on set were the fishnets.
Naturally, yes.
They had the multiple wigs, multiple costumes, multiple fishnets, and girl, we filmed this in South Africa. They did not have Capizio fishnets there. They had the cheap little you just blow on it and the
cheap
breaks, honey.
Trudy, are you aware I brought those?
Well,
I brought all those fishnets.
Honey, are you for real?
I'm so for real. They paid me for it, but they were like, because I was the last one to show up in Cape Town that could bring them.
Yeah.
So they were like, "Can you grab these for us and bring them with you?" I was like, "Sure, yeah." And they reimbursed me for it, of course. But thanks, Trinity. I'm happy that my Capizio tights are cheap.
Those were not Capizios.
They weren't.
Capizios are like, the bodybuilder of the tight world. The ones you got were like, I don't know, plastic tiara. She's fragile, honey.
Very delicate. Oh,
beautiful to look at, but bitch, she ain't gonna do much because if she fragile. Even, you know, girl, a scratch, she is down, honey, for the count.
Car went through them, honey.
Yeah. Well, we're only on question one, and we are rolling.
All right, so the plot of this movie, as you said, centers on your encounters with vampires. So we have to ask, if you were both vampires, which other Drag Race alum would you choose to turn to be your eternal companion? I was going to say choose to fight off the vampires with you. We know that Plastique is not going to be Trinity's answer.
Definitely not.
But who would you choose to turn as a vampire?
To be clear, Plastique is gorgeous. She would make a beautiful vampire. She but would. If we were like out there fighting the world, girl, Plastique would not. I don't see her surviving, sweetie.
I feel like she would be the girl who gets offed in the opening credits.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
I kept
She's
that.
Not getting up, honey.
Yeah.
Girl. I would probably change maybe Jimbo or Jada. I feel like those would probably be so much fun to see as vampires. They're already nuts and cuckoo bananas. Just seeing them and giving them that kind of power. They try to take over the world, probably.
A very specific question here. You're asking, what alum would I want to basically suck?
Yes, that's the question.
Yes, that's how you interpret it.
I gotta change mine. I gotta change mine.
Do we have changed answers?
So change answers immediately. No,
there's a couple of alumni that I would suck to turn into a vampire to, you know, rule the world with me. You know, I've heard some things about some of these queens. Nina Bonina
Brooke LeGrand Dame.
Maybe Naomi Smalls.
Okay.
She would make a lovely tall vampire.
Yes. Okay. So we are now, I love that that it's now shifting. I think, Heidi, maybe you realize that with your answer, you would have to spend the rest of eternity with Jimbo. And I'm not sure if that
We would have fun, but not that kind of fun. I feel like.
Yeah.
See, I'm more no strings attached vampire. I'm gonna duck you and turn you, and then I'm gonna leave you, bitch. I've got to keep it moving. I've got other people to turn into vampires, sweetie. I'm sucking all over the world.
Well, this is officially already one of the best interviews we've ever done. So, moving on. In addition to both of you, season 12 star Crystal Method and Drag Race UK queen Caramel are also in this cast. So, we know when you get a bunch of drag queens together, especially filming a movie, it's long days, it's long hours. Who is the biggest diva on the production of Slay?
Trinity.
I disagree. What was her name? Katie, the lady who was giving us
Katie. Don't you be putting that on Katie? They were talking about the Queen's Katie, Trinity.
She was on production team. She was the big diva, honey. She was reading all, honey.
Reading tell me about Katie.
Just letting Katie hold it.
No, I love Katie, but she,
I love Katie too.
Abbott, bitch. She was not letting anybody be a diva, bitch. She was like
she refused.
You got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes. Like, you be on set.
Who did Katie drag the hardest? Was there any moments that Katie like dragged someone really hard?
I don't know if she really like super dragged anyone super hard, but I feel like her and Kara probably had the most FaceTime.
yeah. Care to elaborate?
You know,
You'll have to interview Carr for that one.
These are some divas, and when you mix production divas with, you know, in front of the camera divas, you got, you know, that is the action you need. We should have had a documentary of the movie.
Oh, the behind the scenes.
Yeah. What would be the scene leading that trailer?
All of us walking into the trailers that we got, I think.
No, like opening up the trailers. And I have the footage and I can send it to you, Joey. It is we were in a van going to a location, and out of nowhere from like in the distance comes Heidi's extra, her body double. Walking towards the van, bitch. And we're like, what is that? Who is that? Girl, they get in the car. They're driving us to the location. Girl, when I tell you, I have the footage. I need to release it. It is...
Send that to me, Trinity.
Girl, wait till you see. Woo-wee, honey.
Send that to me. Girl, I have the photo of my stunt double, too. I'm going to post it soon. She was lovely.
I have the video. It is like... Never, I don't want to be mean, but let's just say they were a great stunt double, but I don't know that drag queen is their profession.
I really want to see this. Yes.
Well, we will be awaiting that footage, please.
That footage,
so the
exclusive.
movie The movie kicks off with a rainbow-adorned RV full of drag queens pulling into a small-town bar and Heidi saying, "We're here," which seems like a pretty clear nod to a certain HBO show you have some connection to since Jada is your close friend. So we have to ask, has she confided anything in you about the new season of We're Here? Because there were all these weird fan rumors that she had left early. What can you tell us about?
Regarding all those are just like rumors and falsities and stuff. But what she has confided in me is that I've already seen the trailer for the new season, which is actually looking incredible. All the girls look fabulous. Priyanka, Latrice, Jada, and Sasha, they all look fabulous. They all have amazing moments. And I think it's a step in the right direction for the show. It's actually taking a slightly different step from the past seasons that we've watched, but I think it's definitely a step in the right direction.
I have some tea.
Spill.
Get it, Trinity.
You might hear a Trinity music lyrical moment somewhere in one of the episodes.
Okay, wait, a Trinity song used maybe in a lip sync or something? Is that what you're suggesting?
My team was approached by We're Here to put, and I'm not going to tell you which song, so you have to look for it, for use of one of my songs. I don't know where if it's in a lip sync or if it's just in an episode, but that's exciting. I can't wait to see.
All right. Sounds like We're Here as a new theme song.
Yes.
My drag queens do music.
Yes. So bringing it back to Drag Race, Trinity, we loved seeing you on the historic All-Stars 7. Now that the dust has settled, are you satisfied with the outcome or do you have any lingering feelings on the season and how it played out?
Oh, girl, that's been so long ago. I think any qualms that we would have had would have been on set at that moment just because, you know, our egos. I think that watching the season and seeing the fans' reaction to it, it couldn't have possibly been any better for any of us. Like, we just all shined. And girl, Jinx is just a powerhouse. Like, she's the end all be all. So we already knew going in, this bitch was winning just because she's just Jinx. I'm super happy for her. I think that any of the girls would have been a great representation for Drag Race for that season. But no, I don't think anybody's bitter anymore. I think that, you know, if anything, it would have been, you know, just our own egos on set at that moment. But it's just TV. Who cares who wins? Girl, I'll go do another season. My next venture is I want to do another season, go in, flip a table, be the biggest villain, and go home first.
Well, I mean, you're pretty much the biggest villain already, Trinity.
Maybe so. Trinity is silent. Trinity is now silent. No, Heidi is calling her out.
I will play that part.
Do it and do it well. Get on House of Villains.
Yes.
Well, Heidi, I guess, you know, you and I have talked many times throughout the All-Stars 8 cycle. So is there anything now, you know, a year after this, is there anything else that you want to clear up or reveal about anything from All-Stars 8? Because you left in very spectacular fashion.
Let me tell you something. Could you imagine I just go off right now?
Like, I've been holding this in.
Let me tell you something. Honestly, no. I feel like for me, the last year since All Stars has been a year of growing and learning and acceptance. And I live my life with no regrets. And I just feel like in the world, everything happens for a reason. So there's no hard feelings. You know, during the show, it's like we're kind of like reliving the season a little bit. So during the season, feelings can get riled up or whatever, this, that, and the third. But at the end of the day, like Trinity said, it's just TV. It's literally that. Mm-hmm. It's TV. Enjoy it. Watch it. Take it all in. Post about it. And, you know, I'm in a movie right now, so I feel like I'm doing really spectacular and great. So life's been honestly so good for me afterwards since All Stars. I couldn't fathom the world
or in a world that would have went differently for me, because I'm just so blessed for all the opportunities that have come my way since. So there's nothing to be bitter or Judas about, because girl, I stay winning regardless if I quit or not.
We need some drama up in here. You're gonna have to bleep this out. Fuck Jimbo, okay? You need some drama. I'm giving you some drama. Fuck Jimbo. Put it in quotation.
Fuck Jimbo.
Oh my God, Trinity.
They have Trinity. A love-hate relationship on tour.
Wait, why?
It's just stupid. It's really just silly. Like messing.
It's because
with
you're trying to turn her into a vampire.
I'm not exactly. Fucking Jimbo.
What? One sucked the other into a vampire, and now there's bitterness. This is why I keep the vampire sucking, no strings attached. Okay?
No strings attached sucking.
I love it.
The clips we're going to get from this, this interview.
I know. Oh my gosh. Well, Trinity, I want to ask you about something too, because you recently did take the stage with Madonna at a concert after you... I remember you exclusively told me last year your thoughts on her using the photo of your mom during a tribute to the AIDS crisis during one of the songs. And I thought that that was a really sweet moment. So I'm just wondering how that appearance at the concert came together and what Madonna was like, behind the scenes and talking to her in that moment.
Definitely a cool moment. I mean, Madonna is one of the, if not the most iconic pop culture person out there. I mean, she is the queen of pop. And getting asked to sign over the photo when she was starting her tour was a great moment. It's very special to just have my mother's picture included in that. And then I actually got a phone call. I was home on break for a few days from tour. And my manager called me at 2:30 in the morning. It was like, hey, would you be interested in being in Madonna's concert in San Francisco? And I was like, yeah, when is it? They're like, you're flying out in like a few hours. I was like, wow. Okay, yeah. And he was like, send me some pictures of outfits and she's got to approve what you wear. So I sent like a couple of options and then they sent back what she wanted me to wear. Because one thing I learned through that process is that Madonna is very hands-on with every single little, even the littlest of details. She is a control freak. And I mean, you have to be as an artist. And when I got there, everybody was so amazing. They put me in the VIP area to watch the concert until I had to go up there. I was literally right behind Alanis Morissette and I wanted to like shake her and be like, oh my God, bitch, I love you. I'm a fangirl. But it was so cool. I mean, like Madonna is so tiny and for her to be so small and her to have to do this like long ass tour at her age. Not that she's old, but girl, I mean, she's not what she was in the 80s and 90s. In 2000.
She's not a spring chicken no more. So.
Girl, she was slayed. It was a beautiful concert. It was the dancers were all amazing and hot. And
I've seen
what are you laughing
clips.
At? What are you laughing at, Joey?
Oh, I just the dancers were hot.
Yes. Hot. They were hot. There was this religious carousel. That's the only thing I could describe it. This
carousel. Yeah.
All of the dancers like in like the window seal thing, looking like a bunch of Jesuses. And I was like, bitch, I've never had the hots and been turned on by religion this much. Girl, crucify.
Sister Mary Coon, she's coming out.
Yes. Girl, crucify me.
Crucify me. Did you ask Madonna to come on Drag Race as a guest judge at any point?
Bitch, you ain't got time to talk to her, girl. You're holding up and yelling at the people doing the Vogue ball. Like, you ain't got time to talk to Madonna. She ain't got time for you either, bitch. She's doing a concert.
And she's picking out the next queen's outfits for the next show.
She got stuff to do.
Next to her while she's judging, she's like, send her this, tell her this. Yes, absolutely, bitch. But, you know, I was thinking when I got asked, I was like, this is cool, but like, it's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But then I was like, seeing all of these other major celebrities that she was having do this. Like, she had Cardi B recently and some major stars. I was like, oh, this isn't just Drag Race Queen. So I was like, okay, thanks for picking me, bitch.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I would take it as an honor.
Yeah, no, it was very cool
honor. But I was like, I was just thinking it was just, you know, a bunch of drag queens, but it wasn't, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Heidi, you also recently had a very, very big gig and a Super Bowl commercial with Judge Judy, Meghan Trainor, a few Suits actors, Benito Skinner. So do you have any funny or memorable tea from the set with Judge Judy? Because I know you have a photo with her. So what was she like?
She was so sweet, and it was funny because she came over. She's like, "You got some big hair." I was like, "Well, yes, I do, you know, just a little something." But I didn't realize how tiny she was. Like, I feel like on the judges panel, she gives very much like intimidating, powerful, strong woman. And she comes around, and she's under 5 feet almost. I'm like, dear Lord.
Yeah, come in all sizes.
I love it. But some of the tea from like on set when we were filming the commercial was I ended up having lunch with Meghan Trainor in her dressing room and with her team and stuff. And her partner, husband, he was Judy Cortez from Spy Kids, came with her oldest child. And her oldest child was just so sweet. And he said I was beautiful. And everyone was just so lovely on set. Even the people from Suits were great. Just Judy got to spitball a couple lines in the commercial too, like improv. And those were, she was cracking everybody up in the courtroom. It was great. It was a really fun
opportunity. Do you remember what she said?
Blessed to have worked with Elf Cosmetics, and I can't say too much, but hopefully you'll be seeing me working with Elf again.
Yes,
that part. Yes, we hope to see that too. It was such a funny commercial. It was just so cool seeing you like in the middle of the Super Bowl. It's like I'm tuning in for Heidi's commercial.
It's crazy because last year after the Super Bowl, my homegirl Rihanna messaged me after she performed. And I was like, let me tell you something. Cause I'm kind of a model, a supermodel. I was flying back from Fashion Week in New York. And I didn't get to watch the Super Bowl last year. But then once I landed, I saw the performance, of course. And I saw that Rihanna announced that she was pregnant. I was like, oh, yeah. So I sent her a message on Instagram. I was like, congratulations, Rihanna, on everything, the Super Bowl performance and the pregnancy. And then maybe 20 minutes later, she messaged me, says, thanks, boo. I was like, no, she did not just get done entertaining the entire world on the Super Bowl and then messaged me back. And then the next year, I'm on the Super Bowl in a commercial. Me and my homegirl is doing it.
It's destiny. I love that. Wait, that's for real. You really messaged her and she really messaged you back.
For real. I can show you the message. You want to see?
Do you text each other often? Yes.
Not often. We're both very busy women. But you always check in with those you care about. So.
Yes.
Trinity, do you have any screenshots of your DMs with Madonna's dancers?
That's what we want to see.
No, I don't take screenshots of those things, you know. I delete those kind of messages, but, you know.
Okay. Oh, here's Heidi's about to show it. Wait, here we go.
February 12th.
Oh, my God.
Bad girl Riri.
That's so cool.
Amazing.
Heidi, that's amazing.
I was like, oh, my
Congratulations.
God.
Congratulations. Yes, that's very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
So, Trinity, we do have another, I guess we'll say celebrity encounter that we want to ask you about. Caitlyn Jenner, who you played in Snatch Game and got into a bit of a Twitter beef with, is making headlines once again for backing one New York County's ban on trans women competing on women's sports teams, even wanting to ban them from using public facilities to play the sports. And this is after a few months ago when she said publicly that trans women are not women, even though she identifies on all of her documentations, has changed her gender markers to be a woman. So first of all, have you had any more run-ins with her, either in real life or other platforms after your original beef?
Well, first of all, no. I only had Twitter beef with her and you know, there's a couple of things I want to say on this. First of all, Elon Musk he claims to be all for free speech. But so I had told her a suggestion, if you will, to throw herself in front of a bus. I didn't say that I was going to push her. Didn't say I was going to push her. I merely suggested it as a, you know, something that you do for the community. you know, community service, if you want to call it that. And I got banned on Twitter for that. And I'm like, violence. I'm like, well, girl, I didn't say I was going to do it. I would never push anybody in front of a bus. You know, maybe a van, but not a bus.
Or maybe a car that she's driving.
So no, I haven't had any more interactions with her, especially after I said that I would spit on her if I ever saw her in public. And so I think from then on, she hasn't really wanted to show her face, you know, in Malibu, baby. But I think she's ridiculous. I think she is a prime example of what the Republican Party has turned into. It is a circus. It's all for show. I don't even know if she really believes all of this. I think she does all of this for clout and to stay relevant and to keep her name in press. But at the same time, you know, she hasn't had to live through the same things that most trans women have had to live through. She's very privileged. She got to transition very quickly and accepted into the same spaces that she ran in before, even as, regardless if she wants to claim it, she's in the queer community. And, you know, the Republicans have accepted her because she's a bigot, just like them. She has the same ideologies that they have. But the thing is they laugh at her. You know, she's just a way to be like, look, somebody in your own community feels the same way we do. That's she's a punchline for them. I think she's the joke. And I think it's very sad that we have somebody like her that has such a large platform that people have to listen to speak about these horrible untruths. And, you know, it's she's an oxymoron in herself, being a trans woman saying that trans women aren't women. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. She's absolutely ridiculous. And I stand by it. If I ever see her in public, I will spit on her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, obviously there's a lot of passion and intensity that comes with topics like this, especially with, I can understand how it's so frustrating. You know, as Trinity, you've been open about your gender journey as well. We've covered that a lot. And, you know, seeing someone like Caitlin say these things that seem to be so at odds with a lot of the progress that the community is making must be so frustrating. And thank you for opening up about that. I think it's a really important thing for people to hear. And before we go, I just want to, you know, bring this back to Slay. Let's, you know, is there any other things that you want to say about this film? Why people should watch it? Both of you, like, what is in it for fans?
You should watch it because, one, it's made by queer people, starring queer people, but it's not just for queer people. It's for everyone. It has a little bit of something for everybody. It has the humor. It has the horror. It has the camp. It has a little bit of everything. And I feel like it's something that can bring a lot of different people together in watching it. It's a lot of love put into the project. And I feel like I watched it last night and I feel like the love really radiates through the movie. And I just hope that everyone would watch it and share it with that and take part of that love with them with it.
I totally agree. I think that the message behind the movie is funny. It is has times that it's action-packed and scary, but the underlining message is like, regardless of your differences, we can come together to, you know, get along. And I think right now with the political climate that we're in, it's super important that we have messages like this and we have something that's entertainment that kind of shows what we really should be doing. And regardless of if we all agree, we should be getting along and at least trying to coexist in the world that we live in today. I do want to say a huge thank you to Tubi for putting out this content, because it's super important that we have more queer projects like this. And a huge, huge, huge shout out and thank you to Jim, who was the writer and director of yes. Movie Slay. Jim is a queer person and did such a great job at making this amazing, funny movie. And I hope that there's a Slay too.
Ooh, another day, another Slay.
I'm just putting that
in the there we go. Yep, there's the subtitle right there.
We're going to speak it into existence.
Absolutely. Yeah, message Rihanna. Maybe she'll fund it.
Yes.
You know what? I might.
Cameo. Yep, cameo. All right. Heidi and Trinity, it is always so much fun speaking with both of you. Congratulations on this film, and thank you for joining us today on the podcast. It really was so great having you and lovely to talk with you again.
Oh, thank you.
Stream
Slay on Tubi. It's free.
Kudos to Dawn for spilling in her exit interview with us. And also, if you enjoyed the us spilling on this podcast, you can give us kudos by rating and subscribing and giving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, because it helps us bring you even more exclusive chats with drag talent.
Oh, looks like someone just sent us a review. It's from user PJ69, and it says, "You aren't strong enough, you aren't brave enough, you aren't funny, you will flop, you will fail." 5 stars. Thanks, PJ. Tune in next week when we'll have an interview with season 16's next eliminated queen. Until then, have a poopy snake. No.
Quick Drag is an Entertainment Weekly podcast hosted and produced by Joey Nolfi and Jillian Cederholm, produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Thanks for listening.
There's weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh!
Jillian, have you ever poopsies yourself?
I'm poopsing myself right now.